Ayan guys. Hi. Hi guys. Kamusta kayo dyan? Hello guys. Ayan tuloy. Nagpatawa kasi ako nung isang araw na kahapon lang pala yan. No? Na nasa New York ko ba? Ayan tuloy. Na-miss ko tuloy yung connecting flight. Mukhang dadaan tayo sa totoong New York or somewhere around that area. Ay nako. Minsan-minsan na nga lang tayo nagpapatawa. Minsan lang tayo nag-April's Fools. Ayan tuloy. Na-miss ko isang connecting flight ko kanina. Grabe talaga yung mga airports sa Amerika, sa Pilipinas. At least buti nga sa Pilipinas, kahit medyo hindi ganun kaganda pa yung infrastruktura. Although of course, palitan yan ni Sir Ramon Ang, di ba? Siya nang bahala sa lahat yan. At least may consideration yung mga tao, no? Ang tagal, ang haba-haba ng mga transit pila dito sa US. Walang tumutulong. Buti pa nga sa mga passport areas, ano, lang bilis-bilis lang eh. Tapos karamihan mga Asyano, mga ganas, tapos ako marinig mga Pinoy. That was great. Ang problema dito is yung sa security check, ang haba ng pila. So whatever ang, no matter what class you are in, no matter what, you know, whether you have a connecting flight, whether kay salan mo, hindi, wala talaga tumutulong eh. So yun ang ayoko dito, yung service nila, hindi ganang kaganda pagdating sa security, no? Bahala ka dyan. Ilang beses ako, tumipa ako ng tulong doon sa mukhang Pilipino. Sabi ko, sir, baka late na ako. Paano yan? Ewan ko sa mga yan. Ako kasi, syempre, guys, alam na, medyo lagare din tayo. Ako. So, nakakalculate ko kaagad yung ano eh. Yung mga lead time na kailangan natin to get from one flight to the other. Wala, walang tumulong. 4 times ako humingi ng tulong. Kung pwede i-expedite ako, eto na, my flight will be next. And then, eventually, I lost it by around 5 minutes. So at least this time, hindi katulad nung last time guys sa Denmark, 'di ba? Na miss natin yung Norwegian Air. Yung Norwegian Air talaga wala niya. Ibang klase talaga yung Norwegian Air. But eto parang ganun din yung time eh, yung Pasko na tayo. At this time ulit sa tingin ko, kasalanan talaga ng airport na naman 'yan. Sasabihin niya sa iyo 5 to 10 minutes, pagdating mo doon 30 minutes sa abutan ka. Tapos di ka tutulungan kahit ipakita mo. Walang yan. Pinakita ko pa nga dun sa isa. Sabi ko, sir, I think I'm gonna miss my flight. Well, I don't know about that. Kumanan pa yung isa. Yung isa naman, pinakita ko sa kanya. Sir, baka naman, mukhang Pinay pa naman. So medyo I was throwing out some Filipino words, sir. Well, kung darating yung flight, may lalagay na notification. Well, guess what? 4 minutes na lang. Halos magka-close na sila ng ng boarding time. So, yun. At least pagdating ko dun, na-realize ko na hindi lang tayo nag-miss ng flight. Ang dami pala nag-miss ng flight. In fact, maaga pa nga ako sa lagay na yan. And then parang naawa pa nga yung mga ibang tao na kaupo doon for the next flight. Parang nakita nila sa mukha ko na, oh, here, there. Bumalik na naman yung mga feelings natin, guys. Yung mga feelings natin dyan sa nangyari sa atin sa Denmark to Norway. Yung mga galit na sa Norwegian Airline. But it is what it is. Kaya yan, di na ako magbiro. New York, New York ako tuloy. Na-miss ko yung connecting flight ko sa Texas. Ah, oh, man. Mukhang, ano, mukhang paikutin ako ng sobrang layo-layo. Ayan, medyo mapalapit na tayo sa New York. So, pasensya na, guys, kung may mga nagalit sa atin sa biro natin ng New York, New York. Tuloy, napa-New York talaga. Oh, my goodness. Okay, lesson learned. So, guys, advice ito. Siguro I have to make vlogs na about this. Parang practical advice na lang on traveling and all. Alam niyo naman, hindi naman nakatulad tayo ng iba na Magellan Junior na may buong ano, may chartered plane or may mga alalay ganoon. Tayo naman kahit minsan medyo mabait yung mga host, pinapa-business class ka mga ganyan. Nevertheless, 'di ba? Sariling sikap lahat. At mga pangit dito sa mga US airports is sobrang higpit yung security. Which is sobrang baliktad yung yung situation sa mga katulad ng Japan. Sa Japan, halos wala ka lang kailangan tatanggalin eh. Although I was surprised na dun sa security check, hindi mo na kailangan tanggalin yung mga laptops and cellphones and all. So at least less strict sila. Pati sapatos hindi. But my suspicion is things are a bit different dun sa iba't ibang estado sa Amerika. Siguro medyo mas strict pag sa Detroit ka dadaan. At sobrang strict sila sa Washington DC na dumaan tayo doon few weeks ago, di ba? Last month. But anyway, yun lang guys. Advice ko lang sa inyo, kung meron kayong international transit na dadaan kayo sa US, tapos may mga connecting flights pa kayo, siguro una-una huwag kayong magpatawa sa New York ba? And then pangalawa, ayan. Pangalawa guys, ang advice ko sa inyo is, ano, make sure may at least 2 hours kayo. May at least 2 hours kayo na transit or labor or labor time kasi wala silang consideration dito whatsoever. International flight ka, mali-late ka man lang, you're gonna miss it by a few minutes. Walang consideration ng mga tao. So wala rin silang special lane. So nung nandun tayo sa Germany, sa Berlin, the other week, meron silang special line kung ano ka, kung business ka, for instance. So, syempre, inimbita tayo ng ano, mga yaman na bansa. So, pinag-business class tayo. Okay, so, fine. So, meron ka pang special lane. Wala, wala dito. Walang wala. Talagang malate ka, bahala ka sa buhay mo. Di ba? So, kahit anong takbo ko doon kanina, hindi pa rin makakalusot eh. So, anyway, sabi ko, blessing in disguise na lang. Check na lang natin yung ano nila dito. Mukhang best in the world naman daw itong ano nila dito. So, check natin. Maganda naman yung design. But anyway, since maging sobrang iba yung mga time zone differences natin, guys, unang-una mo kung kailangan ko reschedule itong interview natin with Justice Scarpio because I was hoping to interview him Wednesday morning your time. But mukhang with the flight rescheduling and all of that, I'll have to ask Justice Scarpio to move things a little bit. So buti nga na na-remind ako dyan mamaya message natin sa Justice Scarpio. So because I was hoping to have a proper breakdown na implications ng itong sinasabi ng gentleman's agreement sa ayong usual ni ex-human rights lawyer Harry Roque. Diba? So I'll have to adjust that hopefully by a few hours pagbigyan tayo. Whoa. Stress ako bigla dun na. Nakaka-disorient yung mga time zones natin. No? Okay. Alright, let me figure that out, guys. Message ko si Justice. I'm also trying to get si Jay Batumbacal, isa sa mga, of course, leading experts sa West Philippine Sea issues and one of the leading experts in the world pagdating sa United Nations Convention on Law of the Sea or related issues. We hope to also get him sa podcast natin soon. So, yun nga, medyo disoriented ako ng konti, guys, dahil dito sa mga, dahil mga rearrangements na nangyari. Okay? Now, as you may know, this morning, this morning your time, kahapon my time, guys. Syempre iba yung, I'm sure na-interview ni Justice Scarpio yung mga kaibigan natin. But you know naman, guys, I approach these things differently. I and Justice Scarpio and among other people, I've been discussing West Philippine Sea issue for years as, so-called experts and advocates among others. So we want to do a little bit of digging into this, and I want to check also how Justice Scarpio looks at the theories. We have slightly different hypotheses sometimes on issues, especially in terms of yung pivot ni Marcos sa America, mga ganun. I don't think necessarily mutually exclusive yung mga hypothesis. It's just that for me, it's more of a number of variables coming together. But anyway, I want to have a conversation with Justice Scarpio soon also on this. Just to be clear, I also interviewed Justice Scarpio earlier the other week naman dun sa aking show sa Signal TV 1 News TV 5. So please abangan nyo rin yan. Hopefully lalabas niyan later this month, no? Or early next month. So very extensive na discussion din yan. Two episodes kinawa namin, almost dalawang oras. So please let me check with Justice Scarpio if I can make some adjustments here and there. I have to also check in my time zones and stressful talaga itong mga logistics na ito. But anyway, book pala, manggulo na. By the way, guys, tingnan nyo, sa sobrang mahal natin itong ginagawa natin, mga lives and all, I also almost missed yung bus ko pauwi from Baguio sa Manila. Kaya nga ako bumaba dyan sa New York ko, bawis dahil nag-bus tayo. Ayan, nag-bus tayo sa, from Baguio. I also almost missed that. I think by 5 minutes, I made it there. So, buti nga nakalusot tayo dyan. Pero dito sa isa, hindi tayo nakalusot. Oh, may e-bikes na tayo. Oh, na. Hindi na tayo nakalusot dito sa isa. So, ayan, lesson learned. But as I said, let's make the most out of this. Now, let's get serious, guys. Pag-usapan natin ito, okay? This is it. So, in the two previous vlogs, we discussed, among other things, the rise of Tulfos. Now, I know may mga haters dyan who wanna twist things I'm saying. I just analyzed sociologically bakit nag-appeal ang mga Tulfos. It was not an endorsement of their rise. And as I said, a lot can still happen between now and 2025 and definitely between now and 2028. So it's important to have a snapshot understanding of ano nangyari ngayon sa politika natin, anong hinanap ng mga voters natin, etc. And then accordingly, the opposition, those who fight for the good, have to adjust their strategy. Not to mention, of course, as I Said there are also variations. Iba si Rafi, iba si Irwin, iba si Ben. Of course, they're all Tulfos. They have their own, to put it nicely, controversial approach to things or controversies. But I think Rafi so far has been doing pretty decent on a whole range of issues, which is something we can discuss more. And as I said, the rise of Rafi Tulfo also opens up the game for third candidates, whether it's Lenny, whether it's Riza, whoever man yan. But the important thing, guys, is before going on and hating on the Tulfos, keep in mind this is about Sara Duterte no longer being the presumptive successor to Marcos Jr. Because yun yung situation natin from the very day na nanalo si Marcos Jr. at saka UNITIM noong 2022. Presumptive successor na ito, si Sara Duterte. And so now that situation is more or less out, right? Things are very competitive, and I think that opens up the space for a very interesting competition in 2028. 2025, medyo nakakabahala because it looks like sobrang ipit talaga siya. Sobrang maigpit talaga siya. Yung opportunity for others to squeeze themselves in, especially the good ones, medyo mahirap talaga ngayon. Although, as I said, we have to talk about all sorts of new candidates or fresh faces or people who are beyond ideology, whether it's Mayor Magalong. My understanding is Mayor Magalong will run for mayor again in Baguio in 2025, but who knows in 2028. And then there are other people na post-ideological, even we discuss the possibility of people in the national security establishment, whether it's people like General Carabin, whether it's Jay Tariella, Commander Jay Tariella as a Coast Guard. I mean, there are a lot, also all sorts of other people we can talk about. Yun lang, feeling ko talaga 2025 is very, very tight. And you have a crazy situation whereby not one, but two Tulfos might vie for a position in the Senate. And we saw in 2022 na posible talaga na boboto ang tao sa dalawang magkapatid. As you see, the good one and the not so good one nanalo last time, di ba? So the idea of two Tulfos making the Senate plus one already there making it three Tulfos is not totally crazy. When I say crazy, I'm talking about probability. It's not a moral judgment. But of course, it says a lot about the nature of our politics and the increasingly dynastic direction of things. Although the Tulfos will always say, their situation is different because, it's not like they come from some established family in some province, etc., and they created essentially their kingdom. They became national figures and moved ahead accordingly. Anyways, mahabang usapan yan, guys. Babalikan natin yan in the coming days kasi we're hoping to also have interviews and discussions with yung mga minamahal natin. Sila Ronald Deamas, si Leloy. Si Leloy Claudio naman, God willing, we're gonna join you hopefully, guys, together live in a sense na bibisita na din tayo sa kanya, God willing, soon. Hope to also record some sort of major more high level podcast style, although major basics lang naman yung mga gadgets and all natin. Now, going back to this, mga comments, if you look at the article na meron tayo kanina, this morning your time, kapon, wait, this morning your time, right? Yeah, kapon, my time this morning. Wait, gulo na. Gabi na kayo, di ba? So, morning your time. Correct. Yeah, morning your time. Yesterday. Okay. Anyway, naguluhan na. No. So, my contention is very simple. Na pagdating sa issue sa yung insyol, sobrang mahalaga. So, ito yun, guys. So, it's already reposted also on Asia News Network, but originally this appeared on the Philippine Daily Inquirer. So, ito po yung So ito po guys yung argument ko. Now, if you look at the West Philippine Sea issue, particularly the Ayong Inshol issue, ang pinakamay kasalanan dito ay si Digong. Walang question. Absolutely. Pinakawalang question. Of course, pinakamay kasalanan is China. Obviously, let's be absolutely clear about that. Ang China po ay nagbubuli sa atin, hindi tayo nagbubuli sa China. Hindi po Amerika nagbubuli sa atin, hindi po India, hindi po Europa, hindi po Japan. Let's be very clear who's bullying us, okay? We have to be absolutely clear about that. Having said that, when it comes to sa apportioning of responsibility, sa mga liderato sa Pilipinas, absolute ang pinaka may kasalanan dito ay si Digong or yung kanyang administration. Now, as we discussed in earlier vlogs, and we discussed even more hopefully with other experts, Justice Scarpio, Jay Batumbacal, si Ronald, soon. Obviously, there's still that shadow of the gentleman's agreement hanging over the whole issue, over the whole show. Because kung totoo talaga, which dininay ng Duterte camp, but enough confirmed ni Harry Roque, so I don't know kung nag-coordinate sila, is this good cop, bad cop, is this sabog cop, what the hell is going on, I don't know, or this is a situation of lumusot or boy leakage or whatever, right? Boy booking, yan, boy booking. Kung ito ay situation ng boy booking, or good cop, bad cop, I don't know, whatever it is, more boy booking ang ano ko eh, ang suspecha ko dito. Whatever the situation there is, if totoo na talaga may gentleman's agreement, that means may kas ang laki ng kasalanan ng dating administration because ang ginawa nila is they encourage China to believe na it's just a matter of time before aalis na tayo dyan sa Ayong Insyol at it's just a matter of time before sasakupin nila ang Ayong Insyol. Bakit kamo? Because kung pinakinggan niyo yung henyong ex-human rights lawyer na yan, yung ang sinabi niya, is may agreement po na status quo, ganun-ganun, yung mga ganun. The problem is, a status quo in the Ayong Insyol 3, 4, 5, 6 years ago would mean na essentially i-give up natin yung Ayong Insyol. Kasi sa mga henyo na hindi nag-iisip dyan, eto ah, obviously, I'm being sarcastic kasi kung henyo ka naman talaga nag-iisip ka. Pero yung mga kunyaring nagpapa-feeling henyo, nagpa-feeling expert, nagpa-feeling period, a status quo in the Ayong Insyol means we are gonna surrender it. We're gonna give up on it. Because, nako naman mga ka-Mets, nako naman mga ka-Mets, mga ka-New York Cubao, mga ka-New York Cubao, tingnan niyo naman yung BRP Sierra Madre. Sa tingin niyo ba tatagal yung ganitong mga uring bagay? Sa tingin niyo tatagal yan? Sa tingin niyo tatagal yan kung hindi natin i-fortify yan? This thing, bibigyan na, I mean, wala. Talagang hopeless case yan. Pag hindi natin na-develop yan, guys, good luck sa atin. Alright? Good luck sa atin. So, the idea of status quo means you're giving it up. Because this thing is not gonna last for long. I'm not talking about now, I'm talking about 3, 4 years ago. In fact, kung pinakinggan niyo yung isang interview natin dun sa show natin, I think also dito sa podcast natin with a former admiral, Admiral Ong, Romel Ong. In fact, ang expectation is by now, dapat wala na yung BRP Sierra Madre na yan. Or in fact, 2 years ago pa dapat wala na yung Sierra Madre na yan dahil sobrang nag-deteriorate talaga. The thing was just falling apart. There was just no chance that it was gonna survive. So that means na kung totoo itong gentleman's agreement na yan, that means effectively sinisurrender na natin siya. Now, let's be absolutely clear na hindi po ang DFA nag-agree dito. Kaya nga gentleman's agreement siya dahil walang syunga magsasign nito at i-compromise ang sarili niyang career and worth. Kasi potentially treasonous yun eh. Di ba? Or very, very controversial yun. Kaya nga wala sa DFA ang nag-agree dito. Alright? Wala sa DFA ang nag-agree dito. Kaya nga nag-release ng very strong statement ng DFA na baka minention yan, so they're not denying it, but never, never they're gonna agree to anything that is contrary to our national interest. So that raises the question, so sino to? So kung hindi DFA, are you saying yung political appointee in charge of DFA? So at that time, you're thinking about Cayetano? Well, the thing with Cayetano is, in fairness, I want to be fair to Secretary Cayetano. Last na may check, kasi ang dami natin sinulat dito sa West Philippines issue. Siguro naka 1,000 articles na tayo, whatever. In fairness, if you look at it, one of the things, of course, ang dami sinabi ni Cayetano na sobrang problematic. All right. including in fact na parang siya pang galit na ina na pinsupport tayo ng Japan, Australia, and US dun sa arbitration award. Marami siya mga ewan na sinabi. But in fairness naman kay Cayetano, Cayetano was the one who said may three red lines tayo. Red lines sa West Philippine Sea. All right. I call it the three no's, right? The three no's policy. Ito yan ha. Ito. So China, sorry, Philippines trying to draw red lines in the South China Sea, okay? So, ito, ito yung article na pwede i-check. Also, you can check my own article, guys. Ipo-post ko yan later on. So, effectively, ang sinabi ni Cayetano in 2018 is that may three no's tayo, all right? Or three red lines tayo. And in fact, even Digong said he's willing to go to war with China. Of course, exaggerated parate, when you are that. So, even Digong reaffirmed this red line, guys. So, ipo-post ko lahat ito mamaya sa inyo. Essentially, ang argument dito is, A, ang red line natin is no Chinese reclamation or occupation of the Scarborough Shoal. That's the first no. No occupation and reclamation of Scarborough Shoal. Ang Scarborough Shoal po ngayon is under administrative control of China, but China has not built military facilities on it. And Secretary Lorenzana back then made it very clear na red line sa atin yan because the idea of China putting missile systems, whatever, over Scarborough Shoal is completely, completely unacceptable. And there's gonna be a response by the Philippines. And sa aking pagkaalam, pati yung mga aliado natin, mini-message ng China, don't militarize Scarborough Shoal. There will be a response. So that's the reason why hanggang ngayon, ang nangyari sa Scarborough Shoal is, hindi tayo pinapayagan pumasok or nire-restrict tayo, guys. But they haven't built anything on Scarborough Shoal. That's the first red line. And in fairness, the Duterte administration was able to operationalize that together with our friends and allies. The second one is no unilateral Chinese development of the oil and gas resources dyan sa West Philippine Sea. Klarong-klaro din yan dito sa three red lines na sinabi ni Cayetano. And in fact, si Digong mismo sabi niya, kung mangyari yan, gigiyera na yan. Right? Beijing set some red lines, we set some red lines. I'm quoting Digong. So, I'm sorry, I'm quoting Cayetano referring to Digong. Sabi niya, the president has already said that if anyone gets the natural resources in the West Philippine Sea, he will go to war. He said, whatever happens, happens, we will go to war. So, eto pa. So, despite all of that, I love China. China will protect me. I love all of those things. Cayetano made it very clear na President Duterte said, red lines sa atin yan. China's unilateral development of resources dyan sa lead bank, recto bank, whatever you want to call it. But the third important one, the third important red line, which Cayetano mentioned was, right, hindi pwede forcible expulsion of our troops dyan sa Yungin Shoal. And in fact, Cayetano said something very interesting. Sabi niya, if we lose an inch of our territory under his term, mag-resign na siya and all of that. Right? So, very clear yung mga sinasabi ni Cayetano nun. So, sa pagkaalam ko, yun yung public statement ni Cayetano na pretty high stakes, which is itong three no's doctrine. Right? Or itong three red lines. So, wala akong alam na I am not aware of any situation kung saan sinabi ni Cayetano na may gentleman's agreement anything na status quo. In short, in fact, if you interpret it properly, it's implicit there na the Philippines is saying, amin na talaga yung ayong insyol, and it's up to us what we do about it. But anyway, I don't want to give too much credit also to the administration for reasons that you know because alam mo naman, napangsabog. So that's Cayetano. So if DFA is denying it, Cayetano was the guy who came up with three red lines. So I hindi ko alam yung pinagsasabi na tong Harry Roque na yan. And not to mention most recently, mukhang dinenay din ng mga ibang mga factotums ni Digong. Itong sinasabi ng gentleman's agreement. Siguro pagkatapos nalaman na dami nag-backlash dito. Having said that, I'll say it again. Kailangan magkakaroon ng masinsinan na investigasyon dito. A comprehensive, thorough, and objective, right? Objective, dispassionate, investigation of ano ba talaga nangyari dito because we're getting many, many contradictory statements. And it's interesting here is that Cayetano is also in the Senate right now. So maybe he can also help the situation by shedding light on what Harry Roque is saying. Now, just speculation, I have no confirmation of this. It is also possible that Digong or someone as high as that just told China very informally na, sige, wala namang kaming gagawin dyan, basta mag-invest kayo sa Pilipinas, ganyan-ganyan. Na may quid pro quo na ganoon. And then mukhang later on, dahil quid pro quo lang, at sabi nila, there's no honor among ano, binaliwala na lang ng Pilipinas. So, that's why BBM made it very clear. Even if my gentleman's argument na ganito, wala siyang pake. He's gonna rescind that. My problem with that statement is that it's not enough. Hindi pwede sa may recent lang. If ever na may gentleman's agreement, kailangan investigate yan and kailangan titignan kung ito ay nag-violate ng ating saligang batas and someone has to be held accountable for that. Okay, so that's very clear. Okay. Pangalawa, and this is where the Duterte legacy comes in. Mari Jean Zibog, ayan, mga troll na naman tayo. Eh, di ko ayaw mo sa amin, di umalis ka. Oh, ayan. Block. Yan kasi, wala namang pumipilit sa inyo makinig sa atin, di ba? Di ko na kasalanan kung may mga nakinig sa atin na, what, magpa-500 live na tayo dito sa YouTube ngayon at almost 12 midnight. Okay, di ko na kasalanan yan, ha? Di gawa ko rin kayo ng ano nyo. Anyway, yan ang problema. Kung kulto-kulto kayo, talagang ma-hurt kayo sa katotohanan. Problema ay sorry, wala akong pake sa kulto niyo. Andito ako para sa ating national interest, okay? At para sa pag-iisip, okay? Critical thinking, sanity. Now, but for me, honestly, that alone doesn't capture the situation. Because whether true yung gentleman's agreement or not, sa akin talaga, yung mas malalim pa yung damage na ginawa ni Digong sa ating interest. Hindi lang sa ayong insyol, pero sa buong West Philippine Sea. Bakit ka mo? Kung titingnan mo yung China, mukhang genuinely galit sila. At genuinely galit sila dahil genuinely Karen sila. Genuinely Karen ng China dahil mukhang genuinely naniwala sila na ang Pilipinas, begin with Duterte, ay essentially pwede nilang i-manipulate or essentially mag-give up na tayo dun sa mga ibang strategic features na gustong kontrolin ng China. And let's be absolutely clear about this. Ang pinag-usapan natin guys dito is effective control of contested territories. But more importantly, sovereign rights. So may mga syunga dyan na pa mukhang feeling columnist. May mga fake news peddlers dyan na tinitwist ng issue. Wala naman alam sa mga komplikadong issue. Wala naman publication. Wala naman, hindi ko naman minor major vlogger ang tawag ko sa kanya. Wala naman mga ano yan, mga credibility, mga yan, academic sense, political sense, moral sense, whatever. Nagmamaganda sila ngayon by trying to lawyer for China. But the reality is, eto nga yung insyal is a low tide elevation within our exclusive economic zone. So extension na siya ng ating continental shelf. And meron na tayong exclusive kaya exclusive rights. Hindi pwede ko nila nagrelasyon kayo, sabi na exclusive relation. Tapos sabi na, pero pwede ka rin i-share sa ibang tao. Hindi na exclusive. Parang sinabi, exclusive ka namin, pero hindi exclusive. Iba pa yung right of innocent passage. Alright? But, basta ang pinaka-frustrating sa akin is yung mga makapili, yung mga tatay boys, tatay girls, tatay whatever, na nagla-lawyer pa para sa China. But anyway, for me, the more fundamental problem, honestly, here is, eto, kung maalala nyo, yung panahon ni Digong, okay, ito yung pinaka-fake news na nakakainis na lumalabas dito sa mga walang iyang mga kapili na yan. Parating nilang sinasabi, ang China ay napakagabait dun sa mga kapitbahay natin kasi mabait sila sa China. Tapos tayo lumalaban tayo, nakasalanan pa natin ng lumalaban. Ito talagang pinaka-walang iyang argument na narinig ko. Dahil not only is it a blatant lie, it's a blatant excuse doon sa kasalanan ni Digong. Because lahat ng kapitbahay natin ngayon na nagbe-benefit sa relationship nila sa China, all of them benefited big time from standing their ground first. As I said, there's a proverb in there's an ancient proverb that says, "Let's have war now so that we'll have peace later on." Or like war now para bigger peace later on. Now, that literally doesn't mean war as in war, but means if you stand your ground, you push back against the bully, you get the grudging respect of the bully, who knows? Not only will you not be bullied in the future, it is very possible that the bully actually will be beneficial to you and look for a more or less balanced, symmetrical relationship. So let me explain this to you guys. So unang-una, huwag natin kalimutan, kailangan talaga natin ng thorough, comprehensive, non-partisan investigation na itong so-called gentleman's agreement. All right? Because no less than the spokesman of the former president has confirmed its so-called existence. So unang-una, we have to investigate that. At kung kontrary ito sa national interest natin, as the DFA implied dun sa kanilang letter or a statement of clarification in early March, then dapat may pananagutan dito. Then dapat may investigate it. May investigate kung may mga tao ay na nag-violate ng ating saligang batas. At criminal charges should be filed accordingly if that's the case. If that's really the case. So again, but as I said, my problem is not only an agreement whether it exists or not. My problem is the whole time we lost when our neighbors were fighting the good fight. Okay? Alam ko si Jokowi mismo nakabasa nito eh. Kasi isang tao na malapit kay Jokowi, na tao, okay, hindi ko na ibubuking yan. Pero alam naman guys, hindi naman tayo medyo basta-basta. Medyo may mga connection tayo here and there. Mga na-meet lang naman yung mga prime minister, mga chancellor lang naman. But alam ko nabasa ni Jokowi yan eh. At napatawa daw siya. Sabi, may nagsabi sa akin, pero hindi ko na bubuking sin yan. But anyway, so Jokowi, in 2020, went to Natuna Islands and said, no compromise. So ano yung context? So let me explain it to you guys. Ito yan. Ito. Okay, this is it. 2020, Jokowi tells China, vows no compromise on Natuna standoff with China. So ano nangyari dito, guys? Kung titingnan nyo yung explain natin to, kung titingnan nyo yung 9 dash line ng China, or actually 11 dash line, kasi kasama pa yung Pratas Island at saka Tongking, Tongking Gulf. Tongking kasi in Ilocano means something else, pero never mind. 11 dash line. Yung pinaka-south niya is the so-called James Shoal na also Malaysia claims. But the other thing is, dito sa left side niya, may overlap siya sa North Natuna Sea ng Indonesia. At yung North Natuna Sea ng Indonesia ay napaka-strategic and very rich in energy and especially fisheries resources. So isang malaking-malaking problema sa mga Indonesians ay itong situation kung saan the Chinese Coast Guard and the Chinese legal fishermen and Chinese militia forces, they keep on entering dun sa Indonesian waters. And then nung nagalit ng Indonesia or nung sinabi ng Indonesia ina-apprehend sila, binuli sila ng China. So ang sinabi ng Indonesia, no way, no way, no way. Wala kami compromise na gagawin dito. This is guys, 2020. Alright? This is January 7, 2020. Si Jokowi mismo ay pumunta doon personally. Personally, okay? He went there personally to make sure na there will be no sign of weakness or any indication ng Pilipinas. Sorry, ang Indonesia eh. Indonesia will slow down or anything like that. Yeah, again, Indonesia. In fact, meron tayong mga pictures na si Jokowi sumakay pa ng mga eroplano, yung mga ganun. So, hindi po totoo na ang laki ng investment ng China sa mga kapitbahay natin dahil sila ay may duwag or sila ay mga nagchuchuchu, ay sila ay nag-kowtow sa China. That's not true. Indonesia stood up to China first. Very strongly, very firmly. Nagpadala sila ng F-16 fighters. Which makes you wonder, Indonesia na hindi ally ng US, may F-16 fighters. Tayo ng ally ng US, wala pa tayong F-16 fighters. So may makakulang talaga yung alliance din natin. Pero mahabang usapan yan. By the way, Indonesia bought those things. Alright, hindi naman libre yan. But nevertheless, di anong silbi ng alliance natin. So see, I'm fair. May mga issue din ako sa US, but mahabang usapan yan. You can go to my other vlogs and discussions, including with our American guests about my concerns about shortcomings of the United States. So ito, very, very clear. Very, very clear na sinabi ng Indonesia, no compromise. Nagpadali ng warships, nagpadala ng fighter jets, at nagpalaki ng kanilang military naval presence doon sa North Natuna Sea. In fact, yung North Natuna Sea, ginaya tayo eh. Ginaya tayo because, di ba, we called the EEZ of the Philippines in the South China Sea, West Philippine Sea. We're not claiming the entire South China Sea basin. We're just claiming yung exclusive economic zone natin at yun ang tinatawag natin na West Philippine Sea. So in the same way, exclusive economic zone ng Indonesia na nag-overlap dun sa South China Sea at sa claims ng China, 9-dash lang claim ng China, na halos sinasakop ang 85% of the South China Sea basin. Ang ginagawa ng Indonesia dyan is they renamed that whole area as North Natuna Sea to reinforce their claim in the area. Pero hindi lang rhetorically, hindi lang yung paabogado-abogado, hindi lang papunta lang sa Hague, hindi lang arbitration-arbitration, pero they enforce that. They enforce that. That's Indonesia. Now, interestingly, Mahomets, Malaysia, which has a very Duterte-style president now in terms of being pro-China, right? Yung kasalukuyan na prime minister ng Malaysia ay very pro-China. At yung prime minister ng Malaysia in 2014, 15, 16, si Najib ay very pro-China, independent sa China. But Malaysia began to change things a little bit, at least between 2018, 2019, all the way to 2021. So in 2019, right, Malaysia unilaterally, alam niyo naman guys, yung Petronas, di ba? Yung malaking energy company ng Malaysia, ng Petronas. Kung nanonood kayo ng F1, Formula 1, yun yung isa sa mga big sponsors ng Mercedes-Benz team. Especially yung time nandun si Hamilton at nanalo pa sila. Now, the thing with Malaysia is that if you look at Malaysia, yung Petronas nila is naghahanap ng new resources, energy resources dyan sa West Philippine Sea. So ang nangyari there is, in 2019, they unilaterally drilled for oil and gas. Nag-explore sila and drill sila ng oil and gas in areas na hindi lang kiniklaim ng China, pero kiniklaim din ng Indonesia. So that actually, interestingly, created a three-way fight. Ito, Malaysia picks a three-way fight in the South China Sea. This is an article on AMTI. All the details are there. So China hired this so-called West Capella parang drilling platform. It went, so these fields sit within Malaysia's oil and gas blocks ND1 and ND2. These are also claimed by China. Both China and Vietnam tried to stop Malaysia from doing it, but Malaysia and Indonesia pressed with it despite intimidation and all. And eventually, interestingly, US and Australia somehow supported Malaysia by having patrols near Malaysia, Malaysian waters, especially drill. Okay, so that was partly interpreted as those countries showing support for Malaysia, albeit indirectly. So true, may mga comment dyan na behind the scenes, actually Indonesia and US are close friends. That's true. Behind the scenes, there's many security cooperation. I'll tell you what, behind the scenes, ganun din ang Malaysia. Marami silang mga security cooperation. But obviously, dahil ito mga Muslim majority countries, obviously because may mga economic interest sila with China, hindi katulad ni tatay na nauto-uto sila, talagang may investment na malalaki in China na medyo maganda pa yung ibang investments, including infrastructure investments. Medyo ingat sila publicly. Pero behind the scenes, malapit ang Malaysia at Indonesia sa US din. All right. At both of them have very advanced Western weapon systems, at least kumpara sa Pilipinas. And as I said, in the case of Indonesia, they have F-16 fighters. I think also the Malaysians, right, have some of the advanced fighter jets, aside from Russian fighter jets and MiG fighters that they have. So also Malaysia very aggressively pushed back against China a few years ago. And then in Vietnam, guys, kailangan ko ba explain yung Vietnam? Di ba, as the cliche goes, Vietnam has been standing up to China for 1,000 years. Now, obviously, the reality is far more complicated, as I've written in different articles and books and projects and all. Kung saan, there were many times that Vietnam and China were very close, and today's Vietnam actually drew a lot of its state building, statecraft strategies from China. Ang laki ng cultural influence ng China sa northern Vietnam, ang laki ng influence ng China doon sa success ng Vietnamese Revolution, Communist Revolution, and Nationalist Movement, yes. But nevertheless, the Vietnamese never, never, never look weak. And interestingly, last year when Xi Jinping visited Hanoi for a state visit, so Vietnam was very successful diplomatically last year. It became the only country that hosted state visit both Biden and Xi Jinping, the two most powerful leaders back to back. No, and what happened in the case of Vietnam was that even though the meeting was all about economics and having very good relationships and all of that. Vietnam made it very clear, no? Now, no sacrifice as far as sovereignty issues are concerned. They said we want to settle it peacefully, but they also made it very clear that they're not gonna soft pedal, all right? So on South on anything, you know, anything that has to do with their sovereign claims, the South China Sea or what they call East Sea, and also in the Tonkin Gulf, all right? So these are the things, guys, that you have to keep in mind, all right? That all of our neighbors fought back against China exactly when Duterte was like that to China and kowtowing to China. So that is why right now we're paying the price for that. After all those years of Duterte's observance and kowtow and fighting with our allies and embarrassing himself and embarrassing our country, I'll tell you guys honestly, all right? Ayaw siya ng mga ibang ASEAN leaders. I'm sorry. I'll be honest about it. Nakahiya talaga siyang leader back in the day. As in, the other ASEAN leaders, iniwasan siya. Hindi lang yung mga Western leaders yung mga yan. At I'm sure deep inside, pati mga Chinese leaders, walang respeto sa taong yan. So at, ang problem is, ang hina niya sa geopolitics. I'll tell you what, ang galing niya in terms of making noise and creating headlines and all. Magaling siya. And you know, I'll give that to him. Populists are good in that sense. But, you know, anyone in that position can make headlines by just doing something crazy. But the problem is that hindi niya ginamit sa tama yung element of surprise and unpredictability that he brought into the picture early on. And then later on, parang walang nangyari. Hindi siya lumaban para sa atin sa West Philippine Sea. Sinabi nung kanyang presidential spokesman dati na may gentleman's agreement. Worse, yung mga kapitbahay natin na lumalaban, sila pang kumukuha ng investment ang malaki sa China. Tapos ang Pilipinas, ganyan ang nangyari sa atin. Tuloy, dahil kay Digong, sa kanyang sobrang mahinang strategic thinking, if I can even call it thinking, pang barangay nga, barangay geopolitics talaga, walang respetong China sa Pilipinas. Ang tingin nila sa atin, banana republic. At ang tingin nila sa atin, pwede lang tayo i-manipulate. Ano yung lang yun nandun sa taas, pwede na lahat. Yun yung problema natin, guys. Sa akin palagay, yun yung pinakamalaking damage na ginawa ni Digong. Kaya ngayon, unfortunately, I have many issues with BBM. But at least BBM is getting one thing right, and this is the West Philippines issue. Pero BBM is having all of these problems and headaches because he's forcing China to show us some basic respect. And he's forcing China to realize na hindi na ito Duterte Republic. As simple as that. As simple as that. And para sa akin, mga kameta, yun yung pinakamalaking damage na ginawa ni Digong sa ating national interest as far as the West Philippines is concerned. Now, ibang usapan pa yung human rights disasters and catastrophes during this time. Okay, guys, I'll keep it there. Napahaba yung usapan natin. As you can see, medyo antok-antok pa ako. Medyo paiba-iba yung time zones. Pero nga, hindi na ako magbibiro sa New York Cubao. Tuloy. Papa New York na yata tayo dahil doon na na-reroute lahat ng mga connecting flights ko. Anyways, guys, thank you so much sa inyong suporta. Thank you sa lahat ng mga nagbigay ng comments, suggestions, support, good criticisms. I appreciate it, or points of clarification na ni-raise natin. Thank you sa lahat ng mga sumusuporta natin sa atin dito also. You know, kay Jen, thank you very much for your support. Kay Ma'am Jocelyn, thank you so much sa lahat ng mga sumusuporta sa atin throughout the years, and also for the stars and stickers and all that you're giving us here dito sa mga different platforms. I really appreciate that. Sige, gagamitin ko na yung mga binigay niyong stickers pang bili ng kape dyan. Just kidding. Thank you guys. Maraming salamat. And talk to you soon now. So let me just message yung may ibang guests natin with some of the schedule changes. On that note, thank you very much. God bless. And talk to you soon. God bless. Thank you.